Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and from Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Amen.
Amen.
We've been going through a sermon series on being in the world, but not of the world as Christians. For it's true that God has called us to live in the world, but not to be of it. We are to be different from the way the world lives. And so today, I'd like to look at that with respect to our seeking of treasures. Because all the world seeks treasures. Believers and unbelievers seek treasures. But the world seeks their treasures in this world. They seek their treasures in the riches of this life, in the possessions that they can gain for themselves, in the pleasures that can be had here, in this circus of a life that we have. And they seek it with their heart. That is, that their heart is set upon only the things of this life. But we as Christians are called to belong to God, not to the world. Called to belong to Christ, called to belong to the world above. And so where our treasure is where Christ is, above. And so this is the way God wants us to live today, which we're going to be talking about in this sermon. And so first thing is really God does not say don't seek treasures. He says seek treasures, but seek treasures in truth, according to how I'll teach you to seek treasures, because those treasures are true and eternal treasures. So we want to live rightly. We want to live in a wise way. So let's take a look then at what the Lord would teach us today about how we should live the rest of our lives, beginning today, through the rest until we go home to glory. Start out with what Jesus said in the gospel a moment ago. He was speaking with a man who wanted his brother to divide the inheritance with him. And Jesus says, "Take heed and beware of all covetousness, for a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told a parable. The land of a rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought to himself, "What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my grain and my goods. I'll do this. I'll pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I'll store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool! This night your soul is required of you and your possessions, these things which you've prepared, whose will they be?' And Jesus says, 'So is he who lays up treasure for himself is not rich toward God.'" So here, our Lord Jesus is speaking through me to you directly today to say this is a parable about treasures. In this parable, we see a man of the world, right? What is he seeking after? The things of this world. Barns? Bigger barns. I'm going to gather everything I can for myself. And who's he feeding with all of his treasures? Who's he feeding? Take your soul, soul, take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. This is what he gets for himself. And isn't that the way the world lives? It seems crazy to us, knowing what we know about the truth, but most of the world lives this way. What can I get for myself in terms of the fleeting pleasures of this life, in terms of riches and honor, or maybe pride and a title, or whatever else the world has to offer, their hearts are set on this life. What's the problem with that? I mean, you can seek after the treasures of this life and be happy for a time, right? I mean, wealth brings some happiness at the start. The fleeting pleasures of sin, yeah, have some pleasure at the start. But the problem is what Jesus says here, "Fool. This night your soul is required of you. And these possessions, whose will they be?" In other words, he spent his whole life gathering for himself. Only when he's just about ready to enjoy them, they depart from him. Anybody seen a hearse behind a U-Haul behind a hearse? Obviously, you can't take it with you. Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, "We brought nothing into this world. We cannot take anything out of this world. So if we have food and clothing, with these we shall be content." Are you content? So the world is not content even when they have all their treasures. But God wants us to look somewhere else. The treasures of this life, if you're going to set your heart only on this world, the problem is that they're fleeting. They are temporary. They're seasonal. They're here today and gone tomorrow. We can even look to Solomon, who said this. He said, "I also gather for myself silver and gold and the treasure of kings and provinces, I got singers, both men and women, and many concubines, man's delight. So I became great and surpassed all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. Whatever my eyes desired, I didn't keep from them. I kept my heart from no pleasure, for my heart found pleasure in all my toil, and this was my reward for all my toil. Then I considered all that my hands had done and the toil I had spent in doing it, and behold, all was vanity and a striving after wind. There was nothing to be gained under the sun. I remember a time when I was in Wisconsin, and I saw an older gentleman, I think in a wheelchair, looking out upon the lake, and he saw a beautiful sunset. He thought to him, and he said out loud, "Times like these make you wonder, what's it all for?" He'd spent his whole life gathering, accumulating for himself, every treasure he could gather for himself, according to what power he had, but he didn't know the Lord. Didn't have his treasure, and so he could look at the end of his life and see it all slipping through his fingers like a mirage. You know, if you were on the Titanic, and you found out that the ship had been hit, just imagine yourself. You know that there's a gaping hole in the side, and the ship has about an hour to float on the surface of the icy, wine-dark sea. What would you do? Would you go around like the other passengers previously, playing shuffleboard on the Lido deck? Would you go gather from the buffet of the pastries by the chef? What would you be doing? All those things don't make any difference because you know that in a matter of 1 hour, all this wealth and all this beauty would be at the bottom of the deep blue sea and an icy, cold, dark grave. And I'll tell you something today. We need to fix it in our minds that all the treasures of this life, although we can enjoy the gifts God gives us, we're not to set our hearts upon them because this world, this earth, is the Titanic. We are struck by sin, and God has fixed a day upon which He'll judge the world. And as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7, the form of this world is passing away. So we should no longer live like we think we're going to be here forever, like the world does, but we should live with our minds and our hearts set somewhere else. And Jesus teaches us about that in Matthew chapter 6. He says this, "Do not, then, lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So how do we do that? How do we lay up for ourselves treasures on earth, in heaven? The world, they live by gathering treasures unto themselves. If I want to be great in the world's eyes, what do I have to do? I have to get a whole lot of things, right? If I want to be great and rich in God's eyes, what do I need to do then? The opposite. It's in what I get, but what I give to other people. You know, Jesus said that whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he's my disciple, I tell you, he shall by no means lose his reward. And the scriptures teach that Jesus is coming on the clouds of heaven with a reward, and he renders to every man according to his works. So you have the opportunity and the call and charge of God today to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And what's the great thing about these treasures is, as Jesus says, ain't no moth there, and there is no rust in heaven. There are no thieves that can break in and steal. The treasures that we lay up there are an eternal treasure. And God commands us to do these, seek these today. Think about the passing pleasures of the world. I remember when I was considering whether to be a pastor or not, I was thinking about whether I should be a pastor or a captain. I wanted to run a schooner in Maine. And that would have been okay, but I think part of the draw for me between pastor and captain was that the captain has this big, beautiful, awesome ship and a 130-foot mast with a flying pennant at the top. And all the crowds that come by look at this guy and say, "Oh, he's the captain. Look what he has." And all the riches and the pleasures of this world. Not that it's a sin to do that, but they were beckoning me as if to say, "Seek your treasure in this kingdom. Who knows what's in the world to come?" But God came and spoke to me in those days, saying, "Remember that your life is but a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. And all of us, even by strength of days," the scripture says, "might live, what, 3, 4 score? I don't know how to say all that old English stuff. You know, 80 years or so is the translation, or more, if by reason of strength God should even give you more. But it's not really that long that any of us are here. And in fact, some of us don't even have, 80 years yet to go. I know I don't, unless I live to 100 and whatever. What would that be, 120? Be the oldest man on earth. But the point is, I had all this of the earth that the Lord was offering, that the devil was really, would offer to me. And God said, on this side, you could really lay up for yourselves, for yourself, treasures in heaven by laying down your life to give rather than to get. And this is what the Lord wants us to do in all of our callings, whatever our vocation is, that we use it to give to other people and lay up for ourselves a treasure that will never, ever, ever fail. Well, what's the problem with all this? Let me share with you another word from Pilgrim's Progress about one of the things that we need. Remember, I talked about this last time. It's the story of a Christian told in an allegory kind of form about his path to heaven. And at one point, early in his journey, he meets a man called Interpreter, who takes him basically with the Bible. And John Bunyan writes, "And I saw moreover in my dream that the interpreter took Christian by the hand and had him into a little room where sat two little children, each one in his chair. The name of the eldest was Passion, the name of the other was Patience. Passion seemed to be much discontent, but Patience was very quiet. Then Christian asked, 'What's the reason of the discontent of Passion?' Interpreter answered, 'The governor of them, God, would have him stay for his best things till the beginning of the next year. But Passion will have all things now. But Patience is willing to wait.' Then someone brought a bag of treasure to Passion and poured it down at his feet, the which he took up and rejoiced therein, and withal laughed Patience to scorn. But I held but a while, and he had lavished all away, and had nothing left him but rags. Then Christian said to the interpreter, 'Expound the matter more fully to me.' And the interpreter said, 'These lads are two figures. Passion are the men of this world, and Patience the men of that which is to come. For here, as thou seest, Passion will have all now this year, that is to say in this world, so are the men of this world. They must have all their good things now. They cannot stay till next year, that is, until the next world, for their portion of good. That proverb, 'A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush,' is of more authority with them than all the divine testimonies of the good of the world to come." Then Christian said, "I see now that Patience has the better part, for while the other will have rags in the future, this one will have treasures and lasting forever." Let me ask you this question. Do you have patience? devil's dangling little lures in front of you all the time. Grab it now. A bird in the hand's better than two in the bush. You never know if you'll have it in the life to come. You know that Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, he says, "If we've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God, and that our life now is hidden with Christ in God." In other words, this isn't our life. Our life is going to appear when Christ comes. We're pilgrims. This church is a ship like the Mayflower on its way across the Atlantic. Do you want to stop the ship today in the middle of this ocean of this world and eat, drink, and be merry, everybody? Should we do that? I'll be your captain. I'll let the crew decide. Should we stop the ship and just forget all the toil, hardship, and danger here? What do you say? No. Pilgrims don't do that. We endure toil, hardship, scarcity, trials, difficulties. Why? Because this isn't our life, the passage to the new land. Our life is awaiting us over the horizon, and that is where our faith has got to be, on the treasures of a kingdom to come. Because guess what? All of God's Word, if you read it with this perspective and angle, everything points to the future. God wants us to do good things now. He helps us now. But everything in this whole divine, blessed book of God points to a future age, the coming kingdom. And God wants us to live for that coming age. And so when we seek our treasures, we're to seek our treasures with patience. You know, if I'm a farmer and I go out there to plant seeds, you got one farmer who says, "I'm hungry. I'll eat all the seeds now." Another farmer says, "I'm going to plant the seeds and wait for them to grow a crop later on." We got to be patient. We don't have our reward yet, but our reward is coming. And as it said with Lazarus and the rich man, Jesus said, remember the rich man had all his goods. He said, you've had your goods in your life. But Lazarus in like manner had his poor things. But now Lazarus is comforted here, but you, O rich man, are in anguish. And so God wants us to live our lives with patience. You're not going to have all of the rewards of everything you want necessarily in this life. Although God does fulfill our desires, provides for us along the way, seeking first his kingdom, he provides for us the things we need. But guess what? Your reward, your treasure is in heaven. We've got to set that in our minds today because it's the only way you're going to live. The devil's tricks are very, very tricky. He wants to say, if you don't have your sexual fulfillment now, why would you wait for marriage? Who knows whether you'll ever be married? Get it now, get it now. To the youth, he would say. Or he might say, make your quickness to get rich now. Who knows what happens in the days to come. Get your pleasures now. Why wait on God for the later times? As he said, the devil said to Jesus, he said, look, I will give you all the kingdoms of the earth if you'll bow down and worship me. And what's Jesus say? No, get behind me, Satan, because Jesus knew he was going to receive all things anyway, but what? Not now, but then. And so settle this in your mind. If you can't remember the rest of the sermon today, remember this. Not now, but then. That's where our hearts are in the kingdom to come. And we need perseverance for this, because in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart, Galatians chapter 6. And we need faith, because the only thing that teaches us this is the Word of God. But guess what? The Word of God is all we need, because it's never failed. God's Word is true. He's never lied. And His Word is, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where there is no moth and no rust, and these will be lasting. My final word then today will be this. What is our treasure? It's in what we give. It's in the love that we have for one another, done in faith. But really, it's in heaven. It's in glory. It's in the prize of the upward call of God. But guess what? For me, the greatest treasure, and for us, the greatest treasure is this. Not a person, not a thing or a possession or a glory or a crown, but our Lord Jesus Christ. He's our great treasure. Because the scriptures teach in 2 Corinthians 8 that you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty we might become rich. He took all his vestiture of glory and possessions in heaven and put them all away for a time in order to come down in poverty and with only one rag on his back to win salvation for us on the cross, shedding his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. And being raised from the dead, that we might also be raised from the dead on his day. So, as Jesus said, and I'll conclude with this. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms and provide yourselves with purses that do not grow old. With a treasure in the heavens where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. With a treasure in the heavens that does not fail. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. In Jesus' name, amen.